I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I talk to on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. We're continuing with our mini-series, Fire Your Business Coach. We're talking about how so many professionals today seem to be floundering, why they're looking for answers in all the wrong places, and we offer some tips about what they should be doing instead. This week, we're looking at the tyranny of planning and how traditional planning fails to address the challenges many of us face in a rapidly changing environment. Our discussion may raise some questions in your mind, and I really want to hear from you, our listeners. So connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter, and please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. It would also mean a great deal to us if you would leave a review on iTunes to help others find our show. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Dan Sullivan. Dan is the co-founder and the creator of the Strategic Coach Program. Since its inception in 1989, this lifetime focusing program has helped over 17,000 accomplished entrepreneurs to reach new heights of success and happiness. A visionary, an innovator, and a gifted conceptual thinker, Dan has over 40 years' experience as a highly regarded speaker, consultant, strategic planner, and coach to entrepreneurial individuals and groups. Dan, welcome to the show. It's really great to have you on.
David, it's a real pleasure, and we both shared our love of podcasts before, and I'm really pleased to be your guest.
Thank you. So, as I mentioned to you before we started recording this episode, many of my podcast guests have been or are members of the Strategic Coach community, and it occurs to me that there must be something behind that. So I wondered if you could share your thoughts on why there might be such a strong need for a community like Strategic Coach.
Yeah, I think, everybody is a social creature, David. I mean, it doesn't matter what walk of life you're in. But, with entrepreneurs, there's kind of this special problem, and that is to actually grow. Frequently, people have to outgrow previous communities. And what happens with a lot of entrepreneurs as they become really successful, they've literally outgrown, friends. In some cases, they've outgrown family. And I'm not saying they've rejected these people, but it's just that when they get together with these individuals, there's no understanding of what the entrepreneur is going through. So if you're really a growth-focused entrepreneur and you're ambitious and you're continually moving to new levels of capability and, results, then it's very, very necessary that you surround yourself with a community of like-minded people who are actually doing the same thing. And that doesn't happen by accident. There has to be a certain amount of intentionality about it. And, we discovered this about 10 years into Strategic Coach. We started in 89. And by 1999, we had had enough experience and enough research to show that people came to Strategic Coach for a lot of specific individual reasons, but the one factor that kept them in the program is, that they had this community where their biggest ambitions were actually a source of inspiration to other people. They got an enormous amount of support from other people, and they were applauded. When they talked about their breakthroughs, when they talked about their achievements, they got applause. And this was the reason why they would stay in the program for a long time. It's very, very, everybody needs a community. It's just that entrepreneurs, by their very nature, tend to outgrow previous communities and they need a new one.
I think it's interesting that it took you 10 years to realize why people needed this kind of community.
Yeah, I'm a slow learner, very slow learner. We had a lot of answers, because people were using different concepts and different tools in Strategic Coach, were having breakthroughs. But we would do a lot of interviews and everything else. But once we hit 99, we had, we had about 700 or 800 people in the community. You could get some big, broad patterns, and this is the biggest one that came out of the research.
The other thing that I think is really interesting about what you said is that entrepreneurs, not just that they need intentionality to find the right kind of community, but they outgrow communities.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many people actually think about the fact that you need to not just seek out the right community or seek out a new community, but you also need to analyze what communities you're in and see whether it continues to be the right fit for you.
Yeah. I mean, you have to understand that just the decision to be an entrepreneur, you know, where you're depending on your own abilities for your, you know, for your financial security. And the other thing is that you realize that until you create value for other people, you don't get any opportunity. Just those two mindsets that allow someone to become an entrepreneur and then a successful entrepreneur, it actually sets them apart as a very, very small minority of the general population. Very few people have the courage, you know, the courage or the confidence to do those two things. So right off the bat, you're in a smaller community.
That's so true. So Dan, given all your experience, what do you see as some of the complexities going on in the business world today that may be new challenges for people?
Yeah, well, I think the number one problem is just complexity itself. And, you know, I started coaching. I was a one-on-one coach for 15 years. So I started in 74. And then in 89, we had created enough intellectual capital that we could actually put this into a workshop form. So we could have, you know, we could have dozens of people in the room at the same time, and each of them, you know, get a sort of like an individual framework to work with. But the number one change, if I look back to the 1970s to today, is just the incredible increase of complexity of what you have to think about. And this takes a number of forms. One is marketplaces change faster. Competition increases, and it can often increase very, very suddenly. Technology has now become a major factor of whether you're staying in, you know, you're staying in touch with your client base, whether you're communicating with them. And then there's a real onus of government regulation that's come in. And so, you know, I would say that easily I can say if I look at my clients in 1974 and what they had to deal with and what they have to deal with 30 years later, I would say there's been a 10 times increase in complexity. And, you know, entrepreneurs are generally good at two or three things. One of them usually that they're a really good salesperson and they're a visionary, but they don't have all the skills. And wherever they're lacking skills to deal with complexity, then life becomes very, very, you know, it becomes very, very challenging.
Dan, how does this increase in complexity affect the way entrepreneurs approach planning?
Well, first of all, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs borrow their planning models from the large organization world. They'll adapt planning from a corporate model or from, you know, other large bureaucratic model. And yet the life that an entrepreneur lives is actually much more, what I would say, it's much more comparable to an entertainer, someone in the entertainment business, than it is in someone that's in a large organization. And what I mean by that is that, first of all, you own the organization, and that makes a radical difference in how you plan. And the other thing is that the teamwork that is created in an entrepreneurial organization, the number one reason for that teamwork is actually to free up the entrepreneur to focus on bigger opportunities and just to focus on those activities which have the, first of all, the greatest profit capability, but also then the greatest future expansion capability. And I think that what happens with a lot of entrepreneurs, David, is that when they first start, you know, you're just scrambling. I scrambled, you scrambled, everybody who is listening here kind of scrambled at the beginning. And, you know, anything that would produce cash flow that kept you in business and extended your future, that became the rule. And what you weren't conscious with is that scrambling and organizing and staffing up and everything else took you into a lot of areas where you just weren't very skillful. You're in a lot of entrepreneurs are great front stage people, but they're not great backstage people. And consequently, they end up in a lot of areas. Their daily schedule is filled up every day with activities, which not only are they not competent at, they're certainly not excellent and unique at it, but they may be even incompetent. But they've kind of hold on to these things. And anytime you're doing activities which give you no pleasure, no excitement, but the people around you can see, you know, this person shouldn't even be doing that, then you get this buildup of complexity. And for all the reasons that, you know, the general environmental reasons that I talked about before.
What are some of the results you've seen when entrepreneurs approach planning like a big organization does?
Well, the big thing is that they tend to treat their employees they're dispensable, okay? And entrepreneurial companies tend to be more like teams than organizations. And that if you think of a sports team to use the word and take it into the entertainment world, you have, a movie company or a theater company. Well, they feel teamwork, you know, and what you're looking for is that each person is really, really great at what they do specifically, but they feel this overall team sense. Large organizations tend to compartmentalize people. And a lot of times entrepreneurs develop this notion that they're the CEO of a corporation. And I think this always creates a very, very bad mindset for them. They should see themselves as the number one leader of a team, and that a lot of their greatest role and greatest impact is that they continually are in touch with their team members and give them confidence that, the future is going to be bigger, the future is going to be better, and it's a much more communication role. And so when it comes to the planning of that, my planning as, one of the owners of my company is that I'm always looking at where I'm on the calendar, and I plan 90 days ahead. I'm always looking for those places where I can give a lot of leadership confidence to everybody working with me. And I don't see it in impersonal terms. I see it very much in personal terms. And that's the biggest difference. And the entrepreneurs I've worked with who have this team approach always succeed better than the ones who look at it as if it's a large corporation and these are just employees who are showing up and they should do their jobs and they shouldn't need anything above that to do a good job.
And what are the elements of that you see as being comparable to an entertainer?
Well, first of all, I think that, the companies that I've seen that are really spectacularly good at this is that they give a vision of where the company is going to be ahead, in my program, I'm always, we have two framing periods. We have 25 years and we have 90 days. And what we say is, it's your company, and therefore you don't have to retire from your company. If you're in your 40s, you should be able to say very clearly at 65, let's say you're 40, at 65, you should be able to give a clear picture of how much bigger and better things are. And, let's say right now when we're talking in the 2040s, on the calendar. And I'm saying in 2040, I'm going to be doing this, and these are the results. And you make it up because entrepreneurs always make up the future before it becomes real. And then, but I'm not going to think, I'm going to have this vision of 25 years, but the only thing I'm really going to plan on is what's possible and achievable during the next 90 days. And the reason I can do that is because in 25 years, there's 100 90-day periods. There's 100 quarters. So every quarter is just 1% of 25 years. And what this introduces is a totally different way of planning, and that is I have high predictability for 90 days. In other words, I can put down five things that I can get done, the team members can get done in 90 days. And then we're going to review at the end of 90 days, and we're going to look at the 25-year vision again, and we're going to reorient ourselves. And then we're going to come back, and we're going to do another 90 days. And you kind of look at it as compound interest. Every quarter, you're being more productive, and the results are higher. And you just keep moving back and forth between 25 years and 90 days. And the reason for this is that it's very hard to predict what life is going to be 3 years from now. You know, I've just noticed that the predictability period ahead for entrepreneurs, and this has a lot to do with the speed of technology, the impact of microtechnology on every aspect of life, is that the predictability has gone out of the way. But yet you can have this vision of 25 years that you can keep reinforcing, because all you have to do is work on the next 90-day part of it.
It also sounds like it makes it much more achievable.
Well, it does. And the other thing is that it's hard to, I just find it hard personally, and I think a lot of entrepreneurs do. I just have a really hard time to gear up for a three-year effort. But I find it really easy to gear up for a 90-day effort. It's like a sprint, okay? And I can sprint, but, you know, to stick to a plan for 3 years when the world is changing around me, I just find that very difficult, and it loses its energy. So my feeling is I get a complete sense of, you know, and all the entrepreneurs who are using this system, they get a complete sense of completion every 90 days, but it's towards this really big thing in the future.
Dan, do you see any flaws in the way business coaches sometimes talk about or assist with planning?
Well, there again, it depends on what the background of the business coach was, because some business coaches come out of universities. You know, they come out of business departments and universities. And one of the problems with that is there isn't a respect level on the part of entrepreneurial clients towards people who aren't entrepreneurs themselves. You know, and I've just noticed that over and over again. And the other thing is that some business coaches go through a training program that produces coaches. And frequently, the people who go into that are accountants, or they, you know, they've gotten something. And again, what's lacking is the real entrepreneurial aspect of the coaching, you know, that is, you know, it's not just a matter of numbers. It's actually a matter of courage. You know, it's a matter of vision and courage. And I would say the third type of coaches that don't work, because I'm going to tell you the type of coaches that do work. The third type of coach that doesn't work is someone who comes out of corporations and coaches entrepreneurs like they're the CEOs of companies. These are radically different creatures. First of all, the CEOs of corporations don't own the corporation, and the, you know, the business owner has ownership, and ownership makes all the difference in the world. And so if I take all the business coaches, I've accounted in those three instances for a lot of the coaches. The great ones are great entrepreneurs themselves. In other words, they can walk in the door and they have a track record, you know, of actually creating their own entrepreneurial business. And what I would just say that there's clear evidence that they practice what they preach, and they don't preach beyond what they practice. And so there's a, I mean, I'm not saying that entrepreneurs can't get useful information from the other three coaches, but I think that to really establish a relationship, a growth relationship with a business coach that they would be willing to stay with over a long period of time. And that's very important, that it's not just for, you know, a few months, a few quarters or years. I think that a really great business coach relationship can really last for a lifetime. This morning I was attending a meeting off-site with a family business, and this is the end of my 29th year in which I've seen them every 90 days. So I've stayed with these people for 29 years, and they're 85 times bigger than they were when we started 29 years ago. But you can see this clear pattern of growth over a 29-year period. And, well, just personally, I find that very gratifying, but they do too. I mean, they've got this really, you know, they've got this marvelous growth pattern that everybody's been part of.
Dan, have you seen a rise in the number or percentage of coaches coming from any of the sectors that you've just described?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think coaching period is just a growth industry. And, you know, if I could use a word to say what the dominant mindset was of the 20th century, I think it was management. You know, you're a manager. And if I look at the what I think is the operative word for the 21st century, I think it's coaching. And I think that even very large organizations, the biggest that we have in our client base has 8,000. You know, it's a private company, but they have 8,000 employees. If I look at that, you know, the owner of the company, he's a tremendous coach of his leadership team. So he's got about a 15-person leadership team. And he's daily, he's working with his leaders and he's coaching. He's not, you know, he's not coaching the 8,000, but he is coaching the 15 who, you know, are really responsible for all the different performance areas and results areas of the company. And what I'm noticing more is, you know, that business owners really, really respond to the whole image of having a coach. And they don't see this as any failing on their part because great, you know, great people in other fields like entertainment and certainly athletics and everything, they have coaches. And that they need a sounding board. They need someone who is really aware of their future goals and can really ask them great questions and can provide them with useful insights and methods and structures and processes for growing into a bigger role for themselves. See, I mean, being an entrepreneur is a life sentence. You know, I mean, you're not going to be anything if you're 10 to 15 years into an entrepreneurial career, you're not going to be anything else for the rest of your career. And the other thing is, retirement is something that you decide for yourself. There's no arbitrary number somewhere in the future when you have to stop doing this.
Yeah, it's very true. People who've been entrepreneurs for a while not only won't make good employees, they just can't be employees.
Yeah, I wouldn't hire myself.
No, I wouldn't hire myself either. We're even.
Yes.
So, Dan, in addition to focusing your planning on something short-term that you can achieve and that you can measure, along with having a very long-term set of goals, what happens when you're part of a support community to in terms of how it impacts your planning?
Well, you know, I mean, if the it's a really great support community, namely that everyone else in the support community is also, you know, I won't say equally, but resonantly ambitious and, you know, has a value system that is similar to yours, then that support community becomes an incredible source of insight because it's like you, let's say there's 10 people in the support community, you can treat each of those 10 as sort of a separate lab experiment. And, you know, if you see them on a frequent basis, let's say it's a monthly basis, in our system it's a quarterly basis, you can learn from their learning. In other words, they're doing certain things which you're really interested in, but you're going to watch them actually as they experiment with it, and they're going to come back and talk about their experiments, and they're going to come back and say, you know, if I was doing it over again, I wouldn't do this and this and this. I take a shortcut and you can get there. And you know, you would learn a lot from one person, but if you had 10 of them, you could actually watch. I mean, it's a funny thing. You got you know, you're a lab rat and you got nine other lab rats, and you're, all the rats are learning from each other, you know. So you get an exponential learning there where you don't have to write the checks for the learning and you don't have to put in the time and effort for the learning. You just get the lessons back. And if you stay with each other, this could be a perpetual lifetime school of learners, you know, how you keep growing into bigger and bigger ambition.
Yeah, that's a really great example. Dan, as someone who leads a really great support community, what advice or tips can you offer for people who are in leadership roles in communities about how to do a great job?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, we're in a position with our clients where we kind of role model what it means to put together a good community because, you know, within our system, everything operates in workshops. And I have 12 workshops a quarter. The company has about 130 workshops per quarter with other coaches besides myself. And so we're kind of role modeling for the entrepreneurs, and what we encourage them to do is to say, well, this is one support community for you that we've put together. In other words, we've created the structure and we've created the process, but you can take anything that you want from our structure and anything in our process. And what we'd recommend that, you know, either in a physical location, you know, you put a community together, or virtually you can do it. You know, you can do it as we're doing it here, David, between Toronto and New York. You can put together virtual communities now. And, you know, with the technology from Google and the other electronic companies, you can see everybody on the screen and you can put these communities together. And, you know, one of the things I've found that there's a five-part learning process that pulls together great communities. Can I share?
Please.
Yeah, and I've been intensely interested in learning processes since I was a little kid. It's been a passion in my life. And there's five ingredients that you have to have. And the first one is you have to have great ideas, okay? And that takes on special meaning in the entrepreneurial world. They've got to be great entrepreneurial ideas, like exponential growth is a great, you know, it's a great entrepreneurial idea. And what I mean by exponential growth is out of the ordinary growth, which you're not measuring in percentages, you're measuring in times. And a really great idea is to say, you know, without knowing how you would do it, let's just say that there's a time in the future when your revenues and your profits are 10 times what they are today, okay? And then you say, let's just pretend that you have actually achieved that 10 times growth, and you're looking backwards now. So all of us in the room, we've actually achieved 10 times growth. Tell yourself a story, or write down five things that you did to get to that 10 times growth. And, you know, and everybody writes down and then they start sharing with it. It's a dynamite. I mean, it's not saying that you're going to do this, but the fact that you could talk about this gets it out of your normal, you know, we're going to do 10% this year, 10% next year, and it gets it out. And it sort of frees you up from your circumstances. So the first thing is you got a great idea, and that's a great idea. And then you have questions that you ask them, you know, how did you change? What was the delegation that pulled this off? You know, was there technology that you brought in that made the difference? And then the third thing is that you have a great discussion. So everybody gets to share in their insights with this. That's number three. Number four is you have a facilitator, a really good facilitator, that makes sure that, you know, things don't get stuck. Nobody dominates the conversation. Everybody kind of gets equal input. And then you kind of record what the breakthrough thinking, and let's say there were five, you know, the five greatest insights, and then you preserve those insights. And then when you come back again, you start with those insights, and then you go to another idea and you actually You actually keep building this. And that. So anyone out there listening, if you just do those five, has to be a great entrepreneurial idea, has to be great questions about the idea, has to be great discussion process, has to be a skilled facilitator that holds the whole thing together. And number five is that you have to capture learning that can go on to the next discussion.
Dan, those are great tips. Thank you for sharing those. They're really valuable. What do we have to look forward to in the strategic coach community coming up in the near future?
Yeah, we're on a major right now. We're just having a really, really major breakthrough at my level. So my level is called the 10 times level in strategic coach. So we have two levels. One's the signature level. And the goal of the signature level is to create a self-managing company, because the number one motivation for entrepreneurs to be entrepreneurs is freedom, freedom of time, freedom of money, freedom of relationship, and freedom of purpose. That's, you know, I've been studying entrepreneurs for 42 years. I've been an entrepreneur for 42 years. And the number one driver of why entrepreneurs keep going, they keep growing, is the greater personal freedom. So we teach that in the signature program, and then in the 10 times program, having achieved a self-managing company, then we start seriously thinking about going big, could be revenues, could be profits, could be an entirely new market start, something brand new that you're going out into the marketplace with. And what we've come upon to actually join 500 growth-oriented entrepreneurs is a concept of a mindset scorecard that basically you can tell from your past that there are certain relationships that really always work for you, and you could pick the three best relationships you ever had, and you could analyze those three relationships, and you could come up with a handful, and it's we just pick an arbitrary number of eight mindsets. And that any time you come across somebody with eight mindsets, it's going to be a win for you. And the reason is because you have those eight mindsets. And that's the reason why you thought those three relationships were the best. So we show the entrepreneurs that there's a set of mindsets that have been successful for their entire entrepreneurial success. And this could be exponential in the future if they just stop now having anything to do with people who don't have those mindsets. And this is a very simple, it's a very startlingly simple way of thinking about the future. And everybody can put this together in about a half hour. And it just is, David, it is absolutely one of the most dynamite things that has ever happened in Strategic Coach. So that's, I feel like I'm on, kind of a drug right now, with this particular approach to the marketplace.
Isn't it great to have this kind of reaction to something after being at it for 42 years?
Yeah, and it's interesting. I said, why did I wait 42 years to get here? But I said, I needed those 42 years to actually get here. There's certain things you just have to put in the time, the trial and error, the setbacks, and the success before you get simple enough in your thinking that you can have this kind of breakthrough.
That's pretty remarkable. Dan, how can listeners learn more about you and the ideas that you just described?
Yeah, we have a single source for this, and it's our website, which lists, everything about us. It lists, we have a lot of books, we have a lot of audios, we have all the information about how they can get information from us is there, and it's www.strategiccoach.com. Strategic Coach, two words put together, .com, and you go there, and it's a terrific website, and anything you need is on the website.
That's great. Well, Dan, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show today to talk about entrepreneurship, planning, coaching, and community. They're all really important elements for people who are trying to make a difference in the world succeed. My guest today has been Dan Sullivan, co-founder and the creator of the Strategic Coach Program. Thank you again, Dan, for joining us. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Connect with me on LinkedIn and Twitter, and please share this episode with your colleagues and friends. Come back and listen next week as we explore why some coaches can help you smash your plateau and others can't. My guest, CPA consultant, author, and speaker Tony Rose, comes back for a second time on Smashing the Plateau to share tips on what it takes to create a whole new level of success and profitability. This is an episode you won't want to miss. I hope you've enjoyed what you've learned today. I know your time is precious, and I want to thank you for spending some of it with us.